Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Suzanne Miller. I am a principal researcher here at the SEI, and today I am pleased to introduce you to Bill Nichols, who has actually spoken with us before. Bill is a senior researcher in the SEI's Team Software Process Program. His work at the SEI focuses on software development process management using this Team Software Process, also known as TSP. Today, we are here to discuss his latest technical report, an adaptation of the personal software process that incorporates verified design by contract. Welcome, Bill.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, first question, for those of our listeners, I'm sure there aren't very many anymore, who aren't familiar with the personal software process or the team software process, please give us a little bit of a brief overview of those.
Essentially, personal software process is a way of measuring software development work with some very simple measures. Size of the product you're producing, like lines of code, the activities or phases of development as you progress through from design to coding to testing, and measures of defects. What are the things that lead to rework, that make a product wrong so I have to go back and do it over? So TSP defines the process. Because of the measures, you can go back and evaluate, how is the process working? Is it an effective process? And if it's not an effective process, if it's not meeting your goals, and I make a change, what did I change, and what were the effects of that change? So it's a very scientific engineering approach to evaluating the effectiveness of your software. Team software process takes these same principles and applies them in a team environment.
So the personal software process is all at the individual level, right? You're working within a team, but you're looking at your own measures, and it's really just for your personal use, to help you understand how to build your product better. Team software process is really leveraging all that knowledge that an individual gets about their own process so that you can make the overall product of the team better and better as you go along through the process.
Exactly. Team software process leverages the skills and the techniques that individual engineers practice in the personal software process, and it brings it into a team environment so we can produce superior quality products on time, on budget.
And I know of at least a couple of projects that have had spectacular successes with this, and there are lots of other reports that you guys, that the listeners can look at for, information on those. But now you're starting to look at combining this engineering heavy, not heavy so much, but engineering centric process with another aspect of software development called formal methods. So why don't you tell us a little bit about formal methods? And in particular, how this design by contract might work within TSP, and what made you attracted to design by contract as a formal method?
Well, let's look at this from a couple of perspectives. First of all, the PSP and the formal methods are, in a sense, decoupled. What we're doing with the PSP, the personal software process, is using the framework and the instrumentation that the personal software process brings to evaluate how does design by contract, or in this case, the verified design by contract, really affect the results. Does it improve your results in some measurable way? Measurable improvements would be, I could do it faster, I could do it cheaper, I could do it with higher quality. I could measure that by having fewer defects in my testing phase. So the PSP is a measurement framework that allows us to do this sort of scientific experiment, if you will. And we can do this in part because we have a large body of people who have taken the PSP using the standard PSP process scripts, and that's essentially our control. So you have this built-in control group.
You're a lucky guy, because most of us that do research in the field do not have control groups to compare our experiment with.
and you see, we actually have a couple of levels of control with the PSP. We have this control group, which has taken the course, and we have hundreds of points of data. For some versions of PSP, we have a couple of thousand points of data on how what is the distribution of performance
right.
among this random group of people. But we also have the control in that because we're using a well-defined process, the process provides a basis for really understanding what did you do differently. So we have that level of control, very precise on what are we doing differently. We have this control group. What is our
right.
baseline
so
result?
So you can actually expect that the variation in performance actually relates to
yes.
the variation in what's been done with process.
We can get a lot of confidence that the differences in the results, if they're statistically significant, have this causal mechanism because we have a lot of control over what we introduce differently. We can look and see from the data that it was actually applied differently, that they spent some time using this process, that they were actually using this different process. And we can look at the statistical differences between the two different groups, the treatment and the non-treatment, if you will. So it really is very much an opportunity because we have this great technology to do real experiments in software engineering.
And the formal method that you've chosen, verified design by contract, say a little bit about that so people can yeah. understand what's different about that.
Verified design by contract is a technique that has been proposed by Bertrand Meyer for quite a while. And there are some recent papers that he's done on some experiments. Design by contract basically is components have a certain expectation of how they're going to perform and how they will behave. You are essentially setting up a contract. This component is going to behave in a certain way. It's going to take certain inputs and give me certain outputs. Now, that's very compatible with things like test-driven development, mm-hmm. where you're doing your tests early. In TSP, PSP, we've always talked about develop some of your test cases early. But just developing test cases is not design. That's a factor of design. It's mm-hmm. an aspect of right. design, but it's not the holality. It's not the complete part of design. So what we've done with the verified design by contract is made some modifications to the PSP script to put that work in particular phases with particular outcomes so that we can measure how much effort has gone into this verified design by contract phase to set up the contract requirements, to do some of the verification, the checking that the design is complete, that the design is correct. And we can now look later in the process and try to do some correlations with the types of time we're spending in later process phases, especially the rework phases of tests. Are we finding these defects now before we get into test? Can we run these tests with fewer defects because we're doing this particular type of design, the design by contract?
And so the hallmark of formal methods in general and design by contract has this also, is that you're using mathematical constructs to prove correctness.
Yeah, and this is a kind of a lightweight proof of
yeah.
correctness. It's attractive to developers because it's very compatible with the kinds of things they're familiar with. Yes, it's a provable formal method, but it's also fairly lightweight because the kinds of things you do in design by contract is you specify what the interfaces are going to be, you specify the particular behavior, the constraints on the modules. It's the kind of thing that sounds like normal, good programming behavior.
Yeah, that's
it's
what it
very
looked like when
it's
I read
very
about
accessible
it.
To the developers.
Yeah, so that's the contrast with other formal methods.
Yes.
This appeared to me as something that I said, oh, okay, I could have done this back in the days when I actually coded.
Exactly. Exactly. We could have done this, or we might have done something similar.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is just...
It's a little more complete.
It's a little more complete.
And it's got some particular areas where you must give information and find out information about the product. So you're actually using this to actually get a little bit better information for the software developer to actually complete the design in some ways.
Yeah? Exactly. And part of the goal in the PSP, in the second week of PSP, we teach a few types of design methods. And designs are most effective if you have some way of verifying the design formally. And there's a different levels of formality, different types of design. You might have pseudocode. You might have module decompositions. Adding just a little bit of formality sometimes can have a lot of leverage. So the hypothesis here would be that adding the verified design by contract will not add a substantial amount of time to the design phase, that it will be some minimal amount of additional effort, but that it will lead to less rework so that you will have no more total development effort for having put into design, and you'll get a lower level of defects coming out. So quality is free. You'll put in this quality phase early. You'll do the right thing. You'll build it right the first time. It won't take you any longer to get it through code complete. And when you're done, it's going to be a better product.
So are there particular kinds of software defects that this technique is good at finding in comparison to some of the other non-formal design methods that you recommend in PSP or other formal methods?
Well, there are a number of types of defects that we typically do find in design. Now, design by contract is probably most likely to find, and this is a hypothesis, this is something we'll have to verify, but we use the IBM orthogonal defect classification scheme, or something that was similar. It looked like that at one time. They've moved on. Ours is kind of fixed. But things like functional defects are likely to be found with this kind of approach, because you're looking very carefully at how should the modules behave. So you hope that you find these functional defects before they get into test. We should be good at finding various types of interface defects, because now you're talking about what are the inputs, what are the outputs. We have some other techniques in design that might help with that, but this is a little more formal. So hypothesis would be that we may have fewer interface defects, and the interface defects are actually very common. It's very easy to have the wrong type of data passed or out of range data.
And so some of the behavioral things that you specify would help you to identify when you're going outside of those boundaries before you actually get into the code.
Exactly. Given this input, I expect this output. In the simplest case, we've typically given people simple test cases. Mm-hmm. Here is the input, here is the output. Now we're making this a little more formal, and you can start to think about this in terms of ranges. One of the powers of design is that you don't just do a specific instance. You aren't just thinking about a specific test case. You can start to expand the test case into ranges of behavior. So just thinking about this from a design standpoint, you can hypothetically, on paper, think through, intellectually understand a number of different test cases, how a number of different test cases might behave, and then you might execute a few test cases as you're sampling to verify.
All right. So this research is interesting from another viewpoint, and that is that it actually is a collaboration between the SEI and some South American researchers that you found, they found you. Tell us a bit how that came to be and how that worked.
So we've been working with Diego Vajsvir at the University of the Republic in Uruguay. He is an authorized PSP instructor. He spent some time here as a visiting scientist. He has some students working with him at local universities, at the University of the Republic and at the University of Oort, which is nearby. And they've been doing some innovative work on experiments in software engineering. They like to do software engineering experiments. So the concept here was the students have taken the PSP and recognized what you did, that this you don't have many opportunities to do really good experiments in software engineering. Well, here we have this ready-made control group. We can instrument the PSP and plug in the design by contract in a very sensible way, that it makes sense. And now we can run some experiments and compare this to the baseline data. Now, the work Diego did with us in the past year, and we just had another student complete some PSP analysis. They have a lot of experience with working with our PSP data. We did a couple of papers on the defect types that were being found in PSP data, differences between the defects in design, the difference with coding. So this is very well aligned with some of the technical research they've been doing with our PSP data. It's a natural extension.
So what's the next step with this research? You've got the scripts modified. You've got a proposal, essentially,
of
how this could work. And you've got some students and professors that are interested in experimenting. Have you set those experiments up? What comes next?
That is the next step. The next step is to actually perform the experiments and start looking at the data. And if they're promising, see if the data can be replicated on a large enough scale to be convincing.
Well, that is going to be something to look forward to. As I said, I'm always excited when we can get data like this, because it is very difficult when you're trying to do software engineering research in the field where people are actually trying to do real work. Those are not always compatible. So this is a really great example of getting past that and doing it with some young students who are going to sort of take things like this forward.
Well, it's really satisfying to work with the students who have the motivation to go ahead and do this sort of research.
So this is the first I'm aware of formally introducing a new design technology in concert with PSP like this. Are there other types of methods that you and the PSP team are thinking about introducing beyond verified design by contract?
Well, we've thought about, we've been thinking that this is the kind of direction we would like to see PSP go in the future as sort of an instrument for applying future research so that you could actually test out new techniques and new models. Verified design by contract seems like a very good fit. There are some other possibilities which I can't think of precisely at the moment, but there are some others that some researchers in Portugal have proposed, and there's no reason that you can't experiment with different types of approaches. Essentially, when you're trying the scientific method, you want to try to have some control over the changes you're introducing. Well, PSP is perfect because we have a defined process. PSP is ideal because we have this large baseline of control data, essentially.
So if you're a professor out there with a new design idea and you want to test it out, you may want to get in touch with Bill Nichols and see how it works with the PSP. Bill, thank you very much for joining us today and talking about this. I'm very excited about this work, and I know this is a new stage in the PSP research that all of us at the SEI are looking forward to. So we look forward to your results in those areas. If you would like more information about Bill's latest technical report, as well as all of the SEI's technical reports and notes, please visit sei.cmu.edu/library/reports-papers, that's all one word, .cfm. For more information on the research Bill's team is doing on the personal software process and the team software process, please visit www.sei.cmu.edu/tsp, and click on the Research tab. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you very much.